Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Photographer Mindset Podcast. I'm your co-host, Seth Macy.
And I'm your co-host, Aaron Manis.
Today we had on Jason Loftus, and today's episode was all about how to get back to having fun with photography. I said in this episode, I feel like a lot of us have lost our way. The thing we once loved has stopped being fun. And we talk a lot in this episode about being honest with ourselves, asking ourselves questions that can allow us to get back to having fun with something that was so enjoyable when we began, you know, when we began with it. So if you're somebody who's struggling or feels burnt out or stuck or just doesn't have the same kind of spark, I think this episode is entirely for you.
Yeah, well said. If we're not having fun, what are we doing? I think that's the thing to dig deep and find out. He was great talking to. Jason has a podcast of his own. We're going to talk about that. You can tell when people practice public speaking, how fluent and coordinated they are with their language. So he was great to talk to. It was really interesting. I had a good time. Met a new person, new friend, it seems like.
Yeah, Jason was great. And his podcast is Beyond the Wild Podcast. You can find that in the episode description of our podcast episode here. If you're interested in checking that out, I think we talked a little bit about it at the end. But yeah, you're going to learn how to have fun again with your photography. So let's hear a word from the sponsor and then get into today's episode. Hey, TBM listeners, before we get into today's episode, we want to take a moment to mention the sponsor of today's episode, and that's White Wall. If you want to turn your shots into true masterpieces, consider White Wall for your photo printing needs. When you print your photos with White Wall, you're guaranteed top-notch printing that's entirely focused on craftsmanship, innovation, and quality. They've got the credit to back it up too, as 5-time winners of the TIPA Best Photo Lab in the world. So you know that you're getting a really, really good product. When it comes to printing, White Wall obsesses over every detail and offers the widest range of premium papers and diverse substrates like aluminum, acrylic, and more. Plus, they even offer custom framing to make your work really shine. What's even more impressive to me is their ability to deliver your pieces worldwide in just 9 days. That's right. 9 days. So if you want to have epic looking photo prints delivered fast, print with White Wall. Enjoy an extra 15% off as a listener of the show when you insert the code TPM15 at checkout. So head to the link in the episode description to start printing your work with White Wall today. Jason, thanks for joining us today, man. Really appreciate it. You're a fellow podcaster. We were talking a bit about that before we started. What's your podcast called? Beyond the Wild. That's right. Yep. For some reason, I thought Beyond the Lens. No. Beyond the Wild. I was literally listening to an episode today. So go check that out. We'll talk about more about that in this episode. But how can we make photography fun again, man? I feel like that's a hot issue right now in today's photography community. I feel like a lot of people have kind of lost their way.
Right.
And maybe this deserves an entire episode. Maybe Aaron, we can do that together. But while we're on the topic, how can we make it fun again? Jason, what do you think?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I've gone through dips in that throughout my time that I've been doing photography, and you know, asked myself that very same question. You know, I mean, what is the reason I do this? You know, and sometimes you get caught up in, am I trying to grow a social media account? Am I trying to grow an Instagram? Do I want a big following there? And then you ask yourself, well, what does that do for me? You know, I've had lots of folks reach out to me and ask me that question, and I mean, I've got a fairly large following, not anymore in today's standards, but back before Reels really took off, you know, I have a fairly reasonable following, around 65,000 followers. Mm-hmm. And I've always told people, listen, those number of followers have never equated to sales, right? Like, or prints sold, or, you know, if I get more and more followers, I don't necessarily get more and more sales, right? So as a content creator or a photographer, to me, it's like, what are you doing? Are you doing this because you're trying to make a living with it? Are you doing it because you get that adrenaline rush from the likes? Are you doing it because you want to get the attention of some other, you know, potential job out there through content creation? You know, what is your why, right? I mean, you kind of mentioned that before we started a little bit, but for me, what I keep coming back to in Atlanta, I mean, yeah, all of us want to make a little bit of money with our photography if we can, for sure. I think we've come to accept the fact that to be just a wildlife photographer is almost impossible nowadays. So you're going to have to really, you know, if you're going to do that and make a living with your camera, so to speak, you're going to have to diversify yourself quite a bit. You know, am I going to do weddings in the off season? Am I going to do senior photos? Am I going to do family portraits? Am I going to do all this other stuff? And, you know, wildlife's my passion and I get to go do that when I can and I still make a little money with that, you know? Or, you know, a lot of folks are offering, you know, you mentioned doing trips, you know, doing photography tours and things of that nature, right? Mm-hmm. You're seeing a lot of the pros, if you will, starting to offer quite a few of those options. So for me, what keeps it fun is not letting it become a job, you know, not letting it become that that daily grind where I have to go out and create content or I have to go shoot this because somebody wants me to. And it's about remembering that the reason I got into photography is because it's how I clear my head. It's how I ground myself. It's how I spend time in nature, quiet my head, get away from the grind, you know, all the stresses that we all feel in day-to-day life, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a good health check every now and then to say, okay, why am I doing this? That's why. Let's remember that. You know, don't get too worked up if you don't get the image that you wanted on this trip or whatever, you know, just let's take it for what it is. And the fact that I'm blessed and fortunate to be able to get out and do this, you know, so.
Yeah. I mean, in your experience, do you feel like people spread themselves thin with too many whys? What I mean by that is they're trying to have it be meditative. They're trying to have it be their full-time income. They're trying to have it be their passion project. Do you?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I think you're in the space. I mean, you talk to people, you know, I'm just curious what you think about that.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that's probably part of it. That would make a lot of sense. I have a really good friend. I want to mention names, but he's a young photographer. He is so driven. And I ask him all the time, what are you hoping to get from this? You know, he's got a couple projects in the irons in the fire that he's working on. And he gets frustrated, right? Because he's not getting recognized, if you will, by the reels that he puts up and some of the photography he puts up, which it's all really good content. Mm-hmm. But it's like, again, it's like I keep asking, well, if you're doing this because you want likes, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. If you're doing it because it's a pet project that you want to do and you're hoping that when the project's done that you'll get somebody's attention and be able to maybe publish it or something, then just keep doing you, you know? The guys that I've seen that have been super successful that is long-lasting are the guys that do something that have a pet project, like Jake Davis, for example, if you don't know him, Revealed in Nature. An incredible videographer and photographer. And he's been, you know, he goes out there and he does this pet project and ends up getting, you know, some footage in a series for BBC Wild. Or I can't remember if it was Disney or BBC Wild, but, you know, they bought his footage and it just kind of launched his career, right? So, you know, there's ways to approach things and reasons to do them. And I think it's just all about making sure that you have a good understanding of what you're doing and why you're doing it. And then don't spread yourself too thin. Don't worry about the likes. Don't worry about the other stuff that could, you know, become part of this. Don't worry about that my reel didn't go viral or whatever. You know what I mean? Just, right. Just do you, you know, and be happy with that.
What's your protocol when you're not having fun in the field or, you know, photography's dragging you down? I mean, I'm going to make an assumption that whether even it's 0.001% of the time, sometimes photography like isn't fun. So I'm curious, to prevent from something you enjoy so much turning into a life stressor or something negative, right. What do you do? Do you step away? Do you dig in more? Do you take time off your phone? What's it for you?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think for me, it's, you know, I ask myself that why. Like, why am I doing this? There's plenty of times in the field where as wildlife photographers, we might be camped on an animal, for example, waiting for some behavior to happen. And I've had multiple times where you're sitting in the rain or whatever it might be, and it gets boring and it gets tiresome. And you don't even know for sure if that behavior is going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. I've spent lots of hours sitting on, you know, a carcass of an animal with predators that have been hitting it looking for an opportunity. You know, I've spent lots of time in the field just going like, what am I doing here? You know, right? I could be home. I could be hanging out with my kids. I could be, you know, spend time with my wife, whatever it is. And so I think, again, it's about what are you trying to accomplish? And when you get into those situations, I think you got to – sometimes you do just have to say, okay, look, I'm done. I'm going to leave the carcass. I'm going to walk away from this opportunity. If it unfolds, great. You know, good for everybody else that's stuck around. But it's not – my head's not where it needs to be. I'm going to step away and walk away. And right. I've noticed too that with like social media, I think it's the more and more I do the social. If anybody that follows me listens to this, I mean, I do not post as near as often as I used to. I might post once a week, and I've gotten, you know, I've built some bad habits as far as not posting it. If you want to quote unquote grow your, you know, your page,
yeah.
My focus has gone away.
Mental health.
right. No, exactly. Yeah. You know, that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, I've gone away from worrying so much about trying to grow my account and just continue to share what I love and the passion for doing it. And it's, you know, it grows a little bit here and there, but it's nothing crazy, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. It's not my goal. My goal is not to create a bigger platform. My goal is to continue to do what I'm doing and share what I do and my passion with others. And if people find it and they like it, they'll follow and they'll do their thing. If they don't, that's okay too, you know? So sometimes it's nice to take those breaks from social media and just like I've gone, you know, 2-3 weeks at a time where I just don't even look. I don't even go on Instagram. Don't look at Facebook. I don't look at Instagram. I don't look at TikTok. Just go away from it and just forget about it for a while. And every time I come back, I feel refreshed and I feel like, okay, I can go back to posting some stuff and I feel better about everything. So
you don't feel like you need to continually grow your numbers online to continue to push the bar with your photography career?
No, and this is where it becomes a little bit of a double-edged sword, right? Let's be real. Instagram, TikTok, you know, even Facebook for specific types of accounts and reach are very good platforms that we're crazy if we're not using them to help market, right? It's free marketing in a lot of ways. So you got to, if you're going to be a professional, I think you have to use it to some degree to help yourself with marketing and so on. But I think it's really about balancing that and what, you know, what is your strategy for marketing with Instagram and TikTok or whatever it might be, right? You'll never see me marketing much with TikTok. I'm just not the type of reels. I'm not that person. You know, I'm not the guy that can go out and video myself in the field and think about, well, I need to get this B-roll and I need to do this and I need to talk about this. And, you know, I go out and I do the shoot and I enjoy myself at the end of the day. But, man, it'd be cool if I had a little video I could share about what happened today instead of just throwing some pictures up. But I also know I'm not the guy that's going to think about that and do the work it takes to have that, you know, that the content to be able to post.
Right. So, and that's where teams come in, right? We're having a teammate or building a brand or, you know, you fill in the gaps with people who want to do those things and who are good at them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point. I mean, if we can get out in the field with our friends, you know, Ron and I talk about it, Ron Hayes, when we do, when we're doing podcast stuff, and, you know, it'd be nice to, we're going to do more of this, like, you know, mic ourselves up while we're in the field, because we have some of the funniest little conversations and little things that are said and, you know, things that are done that just happen in the moment that we just don't capture. And it's just crazy. It's like, we're out there, we're doing it. We can mic up and just capture that audio. And if it's nothing happened that day, great. You just delete and move on. If, you know, but when you catch those little cool moments, those would be cool to share with folks. And maybe that gives us an opportunity to start to create more of the, you know, the reels type content and that to help continue to grow like our podcast page and other stuff too, you know? So
I think what you're talking about is content naturally happening. It's naturally created by something you're enjoying doing that you would do anyways, versus the other approach, which is going out and doing something with an intention, with a script, with something in mind. And I think both ways are valid. I think you just have to play, it plays to your personality, which you want to do. It doesn't have to be either or, right? I mean, you can have a blend of that. Sometimes Aaron has a great idea and sometimes things come naturally just for, you know, with what we're doing or what's being said.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a key too. Sorry, go ahead, Aaron.
I was just going to say it's a tough balance, especially if people have like a day job or family, kids. Then you want to, you know, spread out and do a podcast. Then who's editing the podcast? Then you want to do video. Who's editing the video? Then you at the end of the week, you're like, I have 20 extra minutes and where was my passion? Oh, I used to spend all this time doing photography. Now I'm doing all the stuff around photography,
right?
But not doing the photography. And that's something I'm struggling with right now too, is finding that balance and the desire to actually go out with the little bit of extra time that you do have, because you've maybe spread yourself thin through social media. Like, let's make sure the YouTube's up to date, upload this, upload that, find the clips. Yeah. You're telling me you're going to record out in the field. And I'm like, oh, I have so many of those great ideas, but then it turns into, wait, now who's got to go through the 3 hours that we were sitting over a carcass where there's that 1 5-minute clip somewhere in the middle and someone's got to find it, then pull it out, then stitch it together. Yep. And it's those things like you really have to be super passionate about what you're doing. Otherwise, it's like it just burns away at you because there's just so many avenues to be like,
right.
Whew.
Yeah, well, and you guys all know, right? We see the folks that do it well. I mean, there's guys that it's mm-hmm. obvious their passion. They love it. They love doing that stuff in the field, and they're good at it, you know? And the Instagram and the TikTok accounts are, you know, the platforms are, you know, recognizing that, right? They're rewarding them for that, right?
Yeah.
It's hard for somebody that's just a photo guy, quote unquote, you know, that doesn't have that passion for the video. And every time I think about video, I think it's cool. I see the stuff that people are doing. It's like, that's really neat. I like it, but I have zero desire to be the person creating it. You know what I mean? So I love what you're saying. It's like, stay in your lane, do what you do well. And I think everything works out. You do have to play the games with the platforms. There's no question, but that's what, you know, like, you know, Seth said, bring somebody in onto the team that has that passion and can help cover that gap, yeah. if you will, you know, so.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's this swing pendulum of like, you start with your passion, you build your passion, you're doing all the work. Seth and I are, and our good friend Taryn, but mainly Seth and I are a two-man team doing all the stuff that anyone ever sees. Right. And that pendulum gets tough to continue that passion. Hopefully you build it and you withstand so long that then you can add team members, you can add people that can take away some of the nitty gritty so you can go back to the passion and then just really be a well-oiled machine of doing what you want to be doing and having people help you. People believe in the company, the brand, whatever it may be. It is tricky to get to that point. I think Seth, we're right at that peak of like, wow, we're burning oil here. You know, just trying to get everything done that we want to get done. And it's a lot between planning trip. You're in a similar boat planning trips. What content do we have to put out? We have to put out a podcast. We promised every week. Our guest canceled. Now what? You know, like all that little stuff that.
Yeah.
It all started with
pain for sure. Yeah.
It all started with like, oh, that's a cool kingfisher and I'm going to watch it for 3 hours. Like it all started there,
yep.
you know, and yep. it's just an interesting road. It's fun. It's a puzzle yep. at all times.
Well, but it's always a challenge. Like you said, you know, yeah. you're burning the candle at both ends. You got to get to it. You got to be careful not to burn out because then you lose all of it. You know what I mean? It's almost like you just like, you just throw your hands there and you just walk away, you know? And I've seen guys and gals walk away from it. You know, they just don't do it anymore. You know, and I think it's because there's probably multiple reasons, right? But
yeah.
some of the things that are red flags to me is when you get too hung up on the likes and you're too worried about the algorithm and you're too worried about the, you know, well, this time I'm shadow banned and blah, blah. I mean, I hear it all the time. You see it all the time, you know, and I don't worry about that stuff. Hey, I've got photos that with that many followers where I've got a couple hundred likes. Oh, well, who cares? I don't care. I liked it. I put it up and it didn't get the traction with the algorithm. Oh, well, you know, that just has to be your attitude about the social media side of things. And I personally believe from what I've seen, a lot of the burnout comes from people that are too worried about those social media likes and the algorithm, you know, and trying to grow a large following on Instagram or whatever it might be. And again, I ask myself, like, why? What's the point of growing a large following on Instagram or social media? Unless it's to market yourself and to try to get in front of, you know, specific accounts or people or whatever. So
yeah, and a couple episodes ago, Seth and I talked about Instagram actually set up a call. I'm sure they did to millions of people, but they set up a call about like best practices and whatnot. It was pretty standard. It wasn't anything super specific towards me. Probably just their outreach and trying to shift people in certain directions. Anyways, what she said on the call, and I could be slightly off, but essentially, Seth, maybe you remember better, but 5 to 7 posts a week, and preferably 5 reels a week, and a couple extra things. So as soon as she said that, my immediate thought was, okay, well, that's essentially a full-time job for the kind of content that I want to create and put out there. To get 5 to 7 would be an absolutely full-time job.
Right.
Now, then what is the payoff? Just follows and likes? Am I going to get immediate business? Am I going to be able to quit my day job? Or, like, I don't think so. I don't think that happens for a very long time. And I think the time I just do an efficiency calculation of like, oh, I could do 5 to 7 posts, or I could reach out to 5 to 7 companies a week for a fraction of the time.
Right.
And create opportunities for myself versus trying to like win this game that I don't think has an ending. I really don't think there's an end point. That's the brilliant part of it. You have 100,000. Oh, I want 1 million. You have 1 million. Oh, I want 3 million. Who has the most million? Like, I want to beat that. Like, it just never can end. And then at the end of the day, I just feel like it's so easy to be like, what the hell did I just do for like 10 years? Didn't do anything. I just got a following. Right. Now what? It's a very interesting skill to like create a following, but then what?
Right.
Speaking of the burnout, you mentioned you've seen some people kind of burn and fade away. You mentioned some red flags. What else have you noticed? Have you kind of seen those burnouts happen in slow motion from the sidelines? I mean, what do you think, in your opinion, can some people look out for? I mean, have you ever burnt out, hit the wall?
So, you know, I've went through some, I would call like creative funks, if you will, with my editing and things like that. I've never gotten tired of going out in the field and, you know, spending time in the wild. Never. I mean, I just don't ever see that happening, because that's my happy place. That's where I want to be.
Right. So you're where you're supposed to be.
Right. Right. But for the burnout side, yeah, on the creative side, like on the editing, like I mentioned, I've definitely hit some brick walls multiple times in my career. There's been times where I try to, you know, go with a different style of editing or something, and I just find that it's that's not going to work, you know. But then it's like, well, I'm back to the same old, and it's like, how do I be creative? How do I create something new? How do I not have the exact same deer image that everybody else is posting from Colorado? You know what I mean? Just how do you separate yourself and set yourself apart, right? And it's harder nowadays because the tools that they're giving us are amazing. But they're also so powerful that it makes it very, very easy for anybody to, quote unquote, copy your style or to copy the way you edit. It's taking the skill away from editing and making it very cut and paste and cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's still opportunities there for sure. And I don't think there's any secrets to editing, honestly. It's just, you know, trying to create a style and create something unique. So now it's about composition. Now it's about, you know, what the animal's doing, the type of animal, the behavior that it's doing, you know, trying to separate and create unique and unique style of image that nobody's seen yet. You know, I mean, and then that's difficult, right? I mean, you look at wildlife on Instagram, and just if you just hashtag wildlife and look at the millions of hashtags that have been out there for wildlife. Right. I mean, it's incredible. There are so many people out there doing it, and which is awesome. But again, you know, if you think you're going to make a living with wildlife photography, it's almost like, hey, I'm over here, you know, poo-pooing on your dream if that's your dream. But I think you can do it, but you got to be real creative, and you're going to have to probably do more video than just photography. You know, you have to probably be able to do both. And you're going to probably have to set yourself apart in some way to even get the attention of the people that can give you the type of opportunities that you could make a living. And then you're also going to have to diversify. You know what I mean? But yeah, the burnout, I've seen both, to be honest with you, Seth. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen quick burnout where it's just super, you know, somebody buys a new camera and they got this brand new lens and camera and they think they've got everything they got, and they get frustrated really fast because they're not getting the likes and the follows real quick. And all of a sudden they just say, screw it. You know, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I've seen that happen with people, and I've seen the slow burn too, where, you know, you get folks that kind of ebb and flow, right? You know, they come and they go, they come and they go, they come and they go, which I give credit to those folks, because at least they're still continuing the passion. They're just probably not putting it out on social media as much as they were before, you know. But mm-hmm. But yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna just ask a question. It's an opinion question. I don't think it's statistical, but what percent of photographers, because of the rise of social media and how popular it is, and Seth and I kind of sometimes reference it as somewhat of a drug, the likes, the
absolutely
follow, yeah. So what percent of photographers, and we can even niche it down to wildlife photographers, because that's seemingly what we all tend to put ourselves as first, what percent of wildlife photographers are photographers because of that, the likes, the follows, the dopamine rush? They figured out a tool.
All genres too, though, right?
Like, sure, all genres. They figured out a tool. Oh, this camera can get me more let's call it attention or likes or what have you, better than my phone did. And then, ooh, this new lens can do it. Take away, and I think, Seth, maybe I'm just posing this in a different way. Take away social media. What percent of photographers drop off the face of the earth?
Yeah. Ooh, that's a really good question. I don't know if I've thought much about that, to be honest. I think it's got to be less, though. I think it's significant. I think the number would shock us all. Yeah. I mean, because you can see folks that they have some accounts out there that are really cool, and they take some amazing images, and they're just iPhone photographers, right? Mm-hmm. Or they're just doing nothing but video with iPhone or photography with iPhone, and they can create some amazing stuff, right? So the technology has gone so far that everybody has a camera and a video camera in their pocket nowadays, right? And it's a camera that can do some pretty amazing things. So the social media side of it really just adds fuel to that, you know, like, hey, I can share this. Like you said, you get the likes. And I'm going to be very, very honest with you guys. I was caught up in that at first too. There's no question. I mean, I don't think anybody can be honest about there wasn't a little bit of a dopamine rush when you see those likes and you see that you're starting to get more followers and you see that your account's growing, you see that you're getting that attention. It, regardless of what that led to as far as sales or growth or an opportunity for business, you're kidding yourself if you don't think that that's giving you some kind of a rush. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're kidding yourself. Don't lie to yourself. You know what I mean?
I agree. I think the only ones that are immune to that, and we've had them on the shows, are the people that went to school or got into photography business right away and became successful with their business of photography, whether it's weddings or what have you. It's kind of like... I don't need social media. Is like, that's wasting my time from actually making money and doing things towards my business.
Right.
Those are the only ones that seem immune to the, I want to grow. I want to, they say reels. Okay. I'll do reels. Right. I'll post when I can, or I'll have the intern do it. But, I've got, you know, three clients I got to edit for.
That's so interesting. I wonder the correlation between how we could even study this, the correlation between people who give a shit about the numbers versus how successful, air quotes, they're doing, like how successful their business is or what's going on. I wonder if it's negatively correlated.
Take a sample size of photographers, anyone that shoots photos, and then ask how many followers you have and how much money you've made with photography. Not that it's all about money necessarily, but it'd be an interesting correlation of, yes, I am a photographer. Yes, I made this much money and I have this many followers.
I thought you were going to say, yes, I'm a photographer and I took this photo.
We should start that trend up again, everyone. Yeah. The three of us do it tomorrow.
You know, I think also just while we're on the topic of burnout, from like what I've seen, I feel like burnout is the repetitive damage of being consistently disappointed by not hitting unrealistic expectations.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Just like continuously being disappointed because your expectations are ridiculously high.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good definition. And I think that sums up a lot of what you see out there. And it's funny, you mentioned the correlation with the photographers that do really well. What I've seen, right, if you go and follow some of those accounts or look at some of those accounts of the big name photographers, part of those folks are big name photographers, and so they have the following. That makes sense? I mean, they don't necessarily do much with their social media. They don't manage it necessarily. They probably have somebody that's doing it for them, but they have a name, you know, like Paul Nicklin.
Paul Nicklin is what I was thinking, yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, they're going to have a large following, just period. Then there's other photographers. I know a Nat Geo photographer that I follow. And he's an amazing photographer and he's got a large following. He's probably less well known, but he does great stuff, but he also is super funny and he plays on that with his social media account. So he does a good job with his social media as well. So he has a large following, I think more because of what he does with that than he does because he's so well known. Does that make sense? And I think he just uses it as kind of a release. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about the followers, the likes, whatever. And so I think it's interesting. But I bet you're right. I bet that correlation exists. I bet that it's the ones that are more well known, you know, probably don't, you know, they're the ones that actually make money. They might have a large following, but it might just because they're well known, you know.
Right. Maybe there'd be a caveat where you take famous out.
There you go.
And just see kind of the average.
That'd be a fun study to do. That would be really interesting.
Right?
Yeah, it would be.
Let's rewind. When you were talking about, you know, being okay with, you know, sometimes having those thoughts of you've been out in the field for 4 hours, you're on a carcass, you're a wildlife photographer.
Yep.
And, you know, but I'm sure photographers of all, because we have listeners of all genres, and I want to remind people the concepts that we talk about aren't just specific to the guests we have on. It's so applicable across all fields. But you mentioned in your specific example, sometimes you have that thought of, what am I doing here? I could be at home. I could be spending time with my wife, et cetera. And you also mentioned, though, that you're okay walking away. Like, okay, I'm not in the right headspace. I've had enough. I'm okay walking away. I feel like, myself included in the past, and maybe still sometimes presently, and a lot of people listening, whatever genre of photography you're in, when you feel like you need to walk away or take a step back, there's this guilt or there's this shame that you're not 100% committed. Have you ever felt that? Does that make sense? Do you think, how can people like deal with that?
Oh yeah. And I mean, I can give you examples, but you know, one that comes to mind is, you know, not the specific scenario, but you know, sitting there with a bunch of buddies and there's this potential thing that's going to unfold and it's unreal. I mean, it's going to be, if it unfolds, it's unreal. And you know, you're just, sometimes you got to be willing to walk away and say, hey, you guys, you know, it's yours. If it unfolds, great, you know. And, but you also have to be like, am I really okay with that? You know, because if you're not, then you're just going to be, and it happens, and you're like, dang it. Right. And then you're beating yourself up, you know, for the other side of it. So, you know, I think it's really being honest with yourself. You know, I mean, is it okay to walk away? Yeah, I'm okay if I don't get that. Even if all my buddies that are there get it, I'm happy for them. I'm not going to sit and beat myself up about it, right? So
that's such a broader topic, too. Is it okay to walk away? Is it okay to walk away from photography if I'm not having fun? Is it okay to walk away from this social media strategy I've been implementing for 3 months and I'm just feeling like shit? Like, is it okay to walk away? It's such a heavy concept.
Yeah, and Seth, it has to be okay to walk away. To be okay to walk away. Like if it's your livelihood and you are burnt out at a wedding and you're like, I just want to walk away, that's not going to be a great move. So that's where it gets tricky in terms of some have the privilege of being able to walk away when it's not working out, but some don't, I don't think. And that is, I think that perpetual sort of negative spiral can get you into a really tough burnout situation where you're like, I can't walk away.
Well, then you're a prisoner.
Then I have to, that's where that passion becomes then a payable passion. And then you decide I'm going to lean completely on this passion. And then you can't take a break. You can't stop working at it. And then it becomes a little bit tricky. There's a different aspect to that.
Yeah. You know, if you don't mind, the thought came to mind real quick, but you know, you're spot on, I think. And that's what makes it hard for folks. I have friends that have tried that, right? They've walked away from their previous job or whatever it was because the you know, photography was their passion and they wanted to go make a living with it. And they would have kicked themselves if they wouldn't have tried to go make a go of it. Right. Some folks went and did it and they just couldn't make it because the opportunities just weren't there. You know, some folks went and did it and they couldn't make it because they realized pretty quickly that what was their passion became a job. And then all of a sudden they weren't having fun. You know what I mean? So I guess the point is before you make that leap, I think it's real important for you to be honest with yourself. We're saying a lot of honesty, right? But I think we kid ourselves a lot, you know,
we do.
So be honest with yourself. Do you really think you can go out and make a living with your camera and you're going to be satisfied and happy and fulfilled? You know, one example was a good friend of mine who did that, and he's back working in the corporate world again, but he's happier now because his photography is his passion again. And he gets to go to photograph and video the things he wants to. You know, he's not having to do things for folks to make money on their schedule and things that he could really care less about photographing and videoing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you know, I think it's fair to ask yourself that. I've thought about it myself. We all have heard the Joe Rogan, you know, just, you know, go do it, make it happen, you know, be the most successful podcast person in history, you know, and that's easy when you're the guy, you know what I mean? And right. not digging on or dogging on Joe Rogan. A lot of folks have taken that advice and been very successful. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you also have to ask yourself, hey, maybe for me, my corporate job, which gives me a lot of time off and pays me really well and allows me all the time off and the ability to go do this passion, is an okay thing too. If I'm not sitting in a cubicle and stuck in a situation where I dread going to work every day, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
I think there's different strokes for different folks, and you just got to know, you know, what's really going to work for you and your personality.
Yeah. And there's parts of my career that are rewarding in different ways. And then there's parts of passions that are rewarding in different ways. And there's right. parts of athletics and working out and spending time with family and my dog, like all those things have their pros and cons, everything in life. And I personally, my perspective with work and passion is there's always part of life, whether it's a sport you love, then there's endurance training for it. You know, I hate long distance running, and I was a lacrosse player, so much running back and forth as a midfielder. Just that's the part I didn't like. But in order to enjoy the game the most, I had to do that workout. In order to be able to afford equipment or, you know, buy that new lens, the work I do at my day job is something that feeds that. And I look at it as like, this is the hard part of that. And it right. helps get through the day. It's not like, oh, I wish I could only do that. No, it's just, it's all one thing to me. It's all part of it. And there's ups and downs to all of it. And if you kind of look at it as like that, and you can adjust the scales as you need to, as you move on, but right. it's all kind of part of it, and it keeps it fresh and fun.
Yep. Well said.
What does the being honest with yourself conversation look like? What questions are we asking ourselves that we can get the most accurate answer, you know, that we can make decisions from?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't expect you to have a one size fits all answer, but I mean, right. in your experience,
yeah,
what's helped?
Yeah, that's all I can really give you is like, for me, I mean, I can think of, you know, like for me, it's really just about what am I, you know, it's my why again. It goes back to, why am I doing this? And I start asking the question, am I doing this to make a living? No. Am I doing this because I want the likes? And honestly, anymore? No. I used to get caught up in that when I, like I said, I admitted to that, and I was caught in that trap for sure. But I've matured past that, whatever you want to call it, got to a point where I don't care, whatever. You know, and I've been fortunate to have some success in the photography world for sure. And so, I mean, I'm not, you know, that makes it easier to say, yeah, I don't care. Right. For sure. But you know, like, let me give you an example more specifically to the creative side there. I went through a period where I was, if you guys know my history at all, and I won't get too detailed on this, but I got a photo of an elk that was standing broadside on a shadow line bugle, and it's become a pretty well known image of mine. And I got my very first newsstand cover with that photo, and so it checked a lot of boxes for me from a goal standpoint, from a career standpoint, from a, you know, recognition standpoint, so on and so forth. And it kind of also set the tone for a style of image that I really liked. And so when I'm out in the field anymore, I'm really looking for that scenario to unfold. I'm looking for that dark background to kind of set out and pop the with great, crazy light, you know, and playing with shadows and stuff like that. That's kind of become, I guess, maybe what I'm known for, or what I'd really like to try to chase. In that early on in that process, I got so gung-ho about it that I was trying to go through an editing style where I was forcing images that weren't that to become that, right? And it got me into a point where I was getting so frustrated because I mean, it was obvious these photos were terrible because they were over edited and I was trying to force something that wasn't there. And so that whole conversation came down to talking to a good friend of mine, Harlan Cooper, who I've mentioned on lots of different scenarios because he's a good mentor and a friend of mine. And, you know, he's the kind of friend that will sit you down and say, what are you doing? You know, like, that's garbage, dude. Like, what
we need those people.
You yeah. do. You do. You need those people. So I am more than grateful for him. Multiple times through my photography career, if you will, I'll throw a photo in front of him and he'll look and say, and I'm all excited. I'm like, dude, I think I got this. Check this out. He's like, dude, it's garbage. And I'm like, what are you talking? And the nice thing is he doesn't just say it's garbage. Then he'll come back and explain why. What was the miss? What went wrong? Why doesn't it work? And if I'm and at first I'm always like defensive and like, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. And the more I sit and stew on it, look at it, think about it, I was like, man, he's right. Gosh dang it, he's right, you know. And but that's how I grow, that's how I learn, mm-hmm. that's how we become better, right? Mm-hmm. So he was instrumental in like calling me out on some of that, like, dude, you're over editing crap, man. You just need to stop, you're forcing it, you know. And it was, you know, it took a minute, but I had that come to Jesus meeting with myself, if you will, and said, no, you're right. You know, I need to knock it off. And as soon as I was able to like back out of that, the funk left, I was back in my stride. You know, I realized that I needed, and it's a lesson learned through all my photography, is I don't want to make anything that it's not. Whatever it gives me, it gives me. Creative, I can do some things with it, but it's pretty limited because I try to look for a natural look. And, you know, beyond that, if the photo's there and that situation's there, great, I'll go with it. If it's not, I'm not going to force it. And I'm just learning to be happy with whatever is presented to me, if that makes sense. So there's an example for you of what that right. process was like for me on a specific scenario.
But. Right. I think what's interesting about this is all, I always struggle with with feedback, not because I don't like it, but because one of the hardest things about feedback is knowing when to take it or when not to take it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Just because somebody has suggestions doesn't mean that they're right necessarily, especially with art, because it's so subjective. Yeah. But what I find interesting about your story, or that particular story, is that somewhere inside of you, part of you believed what he was saying was true.
Right.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have come to the realization. Does that make sense? Do you guys yeah. agree with that?
Yeah.
Or disagree yeah, I do. With that, feel free to disagree since we're talking about, you yeah. know, being
honest,
you know, speaking our, being yeah. honest and speaking our truths, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think it depends how you look at the person too and who they are and how much you trust them. And sometimes you can look up to people too much and then just take everything they say as gospel.
That's what I'm saying, right?
I've been in that situation where it's like an arbitrary change when you just find yourself like a lemming, like, okay, I'll go put the highlights down. And you're like, wait, why though? Back to the why. Why? Right. Did I overshoot something? Is it too bright here? Is it too much contrast? Like what it is? Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that. It does look a little bit better if it's a more balanced photo. And then if you truly believe that, then great. I think the bravest or the most confident or the best relationship maybe is where you could say like, hey, I thought about what you said. I tried it. It's just not working for me. But thank you
yep.
for being honest and giving your opinion. I'm going to stick with it. It's not that I don't value that. I just actually, I'm doing this on purpose. Like I like it that way. I like the highlights lighter yep. To my taste. It's my thing. And he might be like, well, you're wrong and you're an idiot. He'd be like, well, I think you're an idiot. And they just go back and forth. And then, no, but
I'm pretty sure yeah, you're not friends anymore. Yeah.
No. Right. No, it's about the relationship and right. making sure it feels balanced and you trust each other. And Seth and I, we've worked together for a long time now. And I think we even know each other's like defensiveness or if something gets us and we can call each other out on that and it never comes to blows, but it's just like we know how we function. We know how we work and we ask each other straight up for not just photos, but like written stuff, emails like, hey, how's this sound? What would you do here? What do you think about this pitch? Like it's just once you know someone and trust that they're not going to snap at you or belittle you, I think yeah. you can have a good relationship. And that goes for yourself too, right? Like we all have that Bobby Knight voice that calls us, you know, pieces of crap and garbage and we suck, that voice in our head that can be super critical. And I think working on that relationship also is really important for our own just peace and success and yeah. enjoyment of any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, you nailed that one for sure. And I think that's the other side of that, that, you know, I mean, obviously this person has become a friend, right? A lifelong friend. I mean, I can't imagine us ever not being friends because we have that relationship, you know. But you're right. And I think sometimes, you know, we talk a lot, you guys have probably talked on the podcast before about, you know, getting a mentor, right? Or, mm-hmm. you know, what is a mentor, the value of a mentor? And we just, you know, that's what we're talking about right now, really. And a mentor doesn't have to be some professional. It could just be a friend that's going to give it to you honest. It could be somebody that is not even in the space, you know, that you value their opinion. So there's a lot of ways to can, you know, kind of consider that. But you're right. It's got to be one where, you know, Harlan, for example, will tell me, listen, you take it or leave it. I don't care. I'm just sharing with you because I care. And I'm telling you what I feel and I think. And you know what? I could be wrong, you know, and that's fine too. And if you disagree, then disagree. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, right? So as you know, some advice maybe would be, as folks are thinking about a mentor and, you know, that relationship, you nailed it. You got to make sure that it's a two-way respect and that you're not just, like you said, the lemming thing, just following because that's what, you know, that's what Isaac's doing now. Look at his editing style. Oh, it's so cool. And then all of a sudden everybody's trying to copy Isaac. Well, sometimes it just doesn't work for you because you're not Isaac A, and then you're not necessarily hitting the style that he's hitting. And then sometimes folks see it as just copying, you know what I mean? For an example, right? So,
yeah,
it's a good point. It's a really critical point too, I think. And having more than one person like that is kind of important. So you can throw things at people and get different perspectives instead of just that one, you know what I mean? So,
or you get convergence on an opinion, right? Yeah. If two or three people are saying the same thing, I think it holds way more weight.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yep. You get confidence, confirmation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The mentor thing is so, you're right when you say, you know, it's a heavily asked question or topic on the podcast. I don't know how much we've done a lot of episodes. I don't know how much we've dug into the whole mentor thing. Maybe we do an episode on our opinions on like how to go about acquiring a mentor.
Yeah.
But a lot of people ask that, how do I get a mentor? And I feel like often it's gone about the wrong way. I feel like a lot of the times people think, oh, I'm going to go find some people I look up to and just straight up ask them, hey, like, can you be my mentor? Right. I don't really think it works that way. I would say, like for all the people I look up to and who will offer me advice and guidance, it was just kind of a natural friendship or relationship that just kind of grew over time.
Right. Yep.
And you kind of are there one day and you're like, huh, this person really is a mentor for me. They've offered me a lot of guidance throughout the years. You know, it's never just like a, hey, be my mentor, please.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's important to say that for people listening who are like, how can I go get a mentor? I mean, just go talk to people, go ask questions and be open to learning, right? And be open to criticism and not get too defensive and stuck in your ways, right? It all goes back to that. How can we deflate that ego, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, maybe that's cool. Duo mentors with each other. Like you can mentor each other. Just as friends and grow together and build and push each other and keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And that's the idea versus,
which I think is you and I, in a sense, man, like, you know what you're good at. I know what you're good at. We know each other's weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And
for example, zero, like, for me,
pardon me,
zero for me, zero, right?
That's your weakness right
that's
there.
Easy.
I'll come to you with something I know that I'm not as strong at.
Yeah.
You know, for example, there's a lot of things that require a lot more life experience, which you can't teach that, and you have a decade on me, right? So how could I possibly know some of the things that you do?
Right. You can't, because I'm so old is what you're saying.
Yeah. That's my backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
That was a very nice little way you slid that in was nice.
Yeah.
I'm sly.
Yeah.
No, but for example, Aaron's very good at, you know, getting people to get excited about something, or, you know, Aaron's good at how to revise an email. It also goes back to, I think for people who have, we talked so much about this episode about being more than just a photographer. We do that every episode. But for all the people listening who have like big dreams, I mean, we all do, right? We're all kind of entrepreneurial in a sense if we want to make money with our photography. It gets to a point where your dream is so big that you cannot afford to do it alone. It's impossible. You can't do it alone. And you're going to have to find a teammates, employees to kind of build the ship that you've envisioned for years.
Yeah, I agree with that 100% in this industry. And just seeing it just in the short time that I've been here, like there's just no way. There's just no way, I don't think.
I don't think there's any way if like you're trying to continue to grow. And when I say grow, that doesn't necessarily mean quantitatively, but just like grow your business or grow, I don't know how many trips
even,
you offer.
Even personally, right? Grow right.
Personally. Right? Yeah. Grow I mean, as a team.
Yeah, you know? you don't, if you want to be successful, you don't surround yourself with a bunch of losers. You know what I mean? It's a cut to the chase, right? I mean,
yeah.
And I love what you said. Before the thought leaves my mind, I want to just touch on it because I think it's so big, is the idea that those mentorships kind of happen naturally. Mm-hmm. All the ones that happened in my life to this point have all been fairly natural. And I think there's two things there, right? I feel like I've tried to be a mentor to up and coming, you know, younger guys and gals that are getting into photography. And the reason I'm doing that is because I felt like people did it for me. And again, it's natural. It's not something where they've asked or anything, right? But if you're humble and you're receptive, people will be willing to help you. If you're not and you act like you know it all and nobody has anything to offer you, you're going to be on your own on an island. I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. So you, if you want to learn, if you want to grow and develop, if you think you know it all, good luck. You know, I'll be the first to admit I have so much. I've been doing photography now consistently, seriously, for about 8 years. And I have so much to learn. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I learn every time. I'm always listening to people. And I had a professor tell me one time early on in my college career, you always, if you have the right attitude, you can learn from everybody, the, everybody that's in front of you, everybody that comes into your life. And sometimes it's what not to do. Sometimes it's mm-hmm. how not to be, right? But you can learn from everybody, right? So I think that was good for me early on. I've tried to always be humble and try to always be open to perception and new ideas and, you know, not be that person that thinks they know it all, because those are the last person I want to talk to. Someone that acts like they know it all. I mean, if we're all being honest, none of us want to talk to that person, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah. Yep. And I mean, you saying I have so much to learn instantly for me instills a level of trust.
Yeah.
For me, like, just when I said this on our last podcast, it seems like we've talked about this so much because we've done so many podcasts in a row. But on the last episode we did, we were talking about when people say they don't know or they're humble and they say they have things to learn, those people are generally people you want to go to for advice and generally can tend to be very trustworthy.
Right. Yeah. I found that in my life too, for sure. I was just thinking, like, the people that I go to the most are the ones that are the most humble, the ones that are always willing to tell me that, yeah, you know, hey, you're coming to me for this, but I don't know, but hey, let's go figure it out, you know right. what I mean? Or whatever, you know? And yeah, I think it's important to surround yourself with folks like that. And I'm going to leave it at that because
yeah,
I'm
going to start getting into those
specific people if I don't. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think it's,
sorry, go ahead, Aaron.
I was just going to say it's important to surround yourself with, not the echo chamber, you know, not someone that's your exact clone copy, you know, the we edit exactly the same. This is how we just go about our lives. We're doing the same reels or whatever it is. I think you do better with someone, or at least have those people in your lives that there's the Venn diagram. You overlap a little bit. You overlap in maybe a good amount, but you have certain strengths, certain qualities, certain expertise that, you know, makes the whole just that much bigger. Like if we had a photography company for product, or we have a drone pilot, we have someone that's great with video, we have someone that can get the photos there. We're not all just trying to go get the best photo. That's not going to create the best package. So surrounding your stuff with people with like different strengths and things you can learn from. Maybe I can learn from the drone pilot, like how to fly a drone. That's cool that he's right in my crew, you know? Right. So I think that's important too when you're looking around, is not just finding the person that's like, oh, that guy's just like me, but just has a bigger following, you know, like I'm just going to latch on to that. It's good to have those sort of different contrarian views as well.
Yeah. Diversity is good for sure.
Diversity is good.
Yeah.
I think what the similarity that's important though is all having a similar generative drive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, going to that drone pilot in your example, you may not learn how to fly a drone. Maybe that's unimportant for the mission, but maybe you learn something about planning and preparation and that protocol. Maybe you learn something about safety from that drone pilot, just like a general guideline.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe you learn from the PR person at your company how to be a better speaker.
Yep.
You know, not necessarily the details of the job, but the more the principles, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. And we're so blessed in today's world because we have access to so many wonderful people just by taking a phone out of our pocket. And I think that's a great way to use social media, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. But I think surrounding you become who you surround yourself with, that that's the same digitally too. Like, what are you consuming? Not to go too far on a tangent, but surround yourself with good stuff and people who are going to make you better.
Right.
And going back to our conversation about honesty, you know, if if the people you're surrounding yourself with digitally or in the physical world, you know, if they're dragging you down and if they're going to hold you back, and you got to decide, are you okay with that? Or are you going to be regretful?
Yeah.
You know, while we're on this topic, what's the value in sharing experience and knowledge, you know, with an audience in general? You have a podcast. Tell us about that and why you do that. I'm sure part of it is to share knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so funny. It's hard because I have a hard time even just calling myself a professional, to be honest with you. I don't make my living with this, you know, with my passion. I do make money with it. I'm not going to, you know, I do try to make money with it too. Don't get me wrong, but it's not my business. It's not my main focus. It's not where I get my income to support my family. So I even have a hard time calling myself a professional. I mean, where do you draw that line? I don't know, but I just don't feel like I'm a professional.
I think
I feel like Mark Raycroft is for sure. He's on the podcast as well. And he makes his living with it. He's been doing it for a long time, and he continues to make a living as a wildlife photographer, which is pretty amazing in today's world. But yeah, to me, so the reason I bring that up is because what do I have to share, right? I feel like I have some experiences that I can share, and that's probably why I do the podcast, is because it's fun to – I'll be honest with you. What's really cool is meeting folks like you, meeting the guests that we have on, you know, getting to talk about my passion. I mean, heck, I could sit and talk about photography for hours, you know, especially with the other people that want to talk about photography. So I think it's cool to get to meet all the different people that we've met. And I've built a network that's incredible as far as opportunities for, you know, photography tours and trips and going out and learning new things, you know, go out and hang out with a landscape photographer because I suck at landscape, you know, and learn from all these different people. To me, it's a little bit selfish. It's not so much about sharing my knowledge. It's more learning and taking in more knowledge. And so I've been fortunate to be on the Wild and Exposed podcast for, you know, 3.5-4 years, and then to start this new endeavor with the Beyond the Wild podcast with Ron and Mark. And, you know, we're partnered up with Pictureline, which is the camera store in Salt Lake City, which is awesome. You know, and we're starting a new adventure, but to me, it's kind of selfish. I want to learn as much as I can from everybody I can. That's just, and I'm being sincere about that, you know, so.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. And other people learning, listeners learning is the byproduct. I mean, I've said that on this show point blank. I mean, I learn so much every week.
Yep.
And that hopefully the questions Aaron asks and the questions I ask, we learn and people listening learn, right? And then you go and apply it. Just in case, we have a lot of listeners who listen to the Wild and Exposed podcast, and I'm sure who listen to your new one. Just kind of explain, if people are confused, what happened to that?
Yeah. Yeah, so it was, everybody has this, like, what happened? You know, there's this, like, is there drama there or whatever, right? And it really wasn't. It was just, I think we all got kind of burned out. We did 5 years of almost every week releasing an episode.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Right, which you guys know, you're there, you're right, knocking on that door, right? And you've been doing it. It's hard work. It's a lot of work, and you know that. So I think we got a little burned out, needed a break. A break turned into a little bit longer break. A break turned into conversations about, hey, what are we doing? You know, are we going to keep this going? You know, we all felt like, hey, if we're going to keep doing this, we've been doing it for basically free for the entire time we were doing it, hoping it would take off. You know, there's a lot of conversations about, hey, at some point you got to make money at this, or it's not, you know, even though it's a passion, it takes a lot of time, and it's taking enough time that it's hard. It's eating into other things that we should be spending doing in our lives.
Yeah.
So we just had that conversation, and I think, you know, Mike decided he wanted to go ahead and go a different route and do the, you know, he's doing the Truth and Legend podcast now. If you haven't, you know, checked that out, go check it out. He's got a great YouTube channel with like quite a few episodes out now. And him and Brandon Day and Eric, I can't remember his last name, but they're running with that and they're more focused on video stuff. And then, you know, Ron and Mark and I decided to go ahead and, you know, partner with Pictureline and start the podcast back up as from the podcast format. We have a YouTube as well, but really more focused on like photography. We do some video stuff too, because there's a couple of us do some video here and there, but more focus on the photography stuff. So the nice thing is now the folks that we're doing Wild and Exposed, they actually have two outlets for content instead of just the one. And it's all mostly the same folks that were involved throughout the years on that podcast. So Yeah, I mean, we'd love the support, love for you guys to reach out and support us. And, you know, we love interacting with our listeners too, you know, and we ask for questions all the time from them so we can address them on the podcast. And, you know, a lot of our listeners are friends and guests of the podcast too. So we do a lot of that too, where we all can learn, and it's always fun to hear somebody's story, right? So right. From a format standpoint, we do a lot of bring a guest on, talk about their photography journey. How do they get into it? What's driving them? What's their why? You know, where are they at today, and what's their passion? What are projects are they working on? And then we love to do like catch up episodes of times that we spend in the field and do pro tip episodes, you know, quote unquote pro tips. You know, mine aren't so pro, but tips and things that we learned that we can apply in the field or, you know, to our photography and that. So right. It's a lot of the same stuff you've gotten before, but yeah, we're excited about it and, you know, would love the support. So.
Awesome. Well, we'll link to your new podcast in the episode description for people who are interested in checking that out.
Cool.
Sounds like it's designed for wildlife photographers who are interested in becoming better at photography out in the field, learning through your experiences and your guest experiences. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'd say it's more like outdoor adventure photography, right? So, excellent. You know, we do some landscape, we do a lot of wildlife, but yeah, it's more focused on that. So if you're interested in that genre, then that's probably, you know, it's a good fit for you. But, you know, like you guys have all talked, I mean, there's no question. We all the genres, as far as the photography technical aspect, they meld very well. There's a lot of crossover, you know? And so there's a lot of opportunity to learn from everybody out there. So I'm excited to have found your guys' podcast and gonna go dig in. And I love it. I've got 200 something episodes I can go binge over, like all those.
You'll be an old
know?
Man by the time you're done.
No. I'll get caught up. Trust me. I do a lot of I do a lot of driving in the car. So
oh god, don't go back to episode one. It's cringe level 100.
Hey, that's the fun. That's the fun part, right? So
yeah. Everyone listening after this, go listen to Jason's podcast, and then after you're done doing that, listen to episode one of this one, and you'll be like, good God.
That's not even a fair comparison. Listen to this one and then the most recent one, and they'll be very, very similar. So.
They are.
Right. So, yeah, that's awesome. Well, you mentioned that you have guests on, and they talk about their journey, and you learn stuff through that. We're going to kind of do this ass backwards here. How did you get into wildlife photography?
Oh yeah. So for me, a lot of folks that have maybe, you know, your listeners will be new to this, but for me, I've shared this story a lot, but I really got into it through hunting. I'm a local resident here in Utah. I grew up hunting with my dad and being in the outdoors, and, you know, hunting for us wasn't just about, hunting. It was about spending quality time in the field with family and friends. And that passion just carried on for me. It was another way to spend more time out in the field, in the outdoors with family and friends. So that's what started it for me. And my journey is a long story. Well, it's a short story. Buy a good camera. That's all I got to do. Learn very quickly that I got a lot to learn. And here I am today, you know, 10 years later with a lot to learn. So, right. but just keep it that way. To me, it's like, as long as photography can be fun and exciting. And every time I do a new type of photography, like night photography or Aurora or whatever, I'm learning something new, you know? And so it's so fun. I mean, there's a guy named Chris Dickinson. You know, if you don't mind real quick, I plug just a,
we got time, man. Don't feel like you're in a rush.
Picture Line is doing a photo X, and it's May 17th and 18th, and they're having folks come in. Keith Ledinsky is the keynote speaker. They're providing some food and everything. It's very reasonably priced. It's awesome little event that they're doing there to just kind of give back to the community. And one of the guys that's coming is Chris Dickinson. He's a wildlife photographer, he's a Western photographer. And I'm pumped to meet this guy, right? I've followed him on Instagram for a long time. And he lives locally, but we just never rubbed elbows. And so I'm super pumped to meet him and to, you know, bend his ear a little bit, hopefully, if we have some time, and to learn from him about Western photography. And, you know, I mean, my point is that what do you want to photograph? What do you want to go do? You know, the sky's the limit. I mean, you can be a photographer that can specialize, or you can be a photographer that tries to do all kinds of different stuff, right? So I feel like I'm the guy that's wanting to become more of a guy that's not specialized and is wanting to learn different styles of photography. So,
very cool.
Right on. Well, I guess the theme of today's episode has been have some damn fun.
Yeah.
This is, we started off having fun. let's continue to have fun, and let's keep that in the back of our mind. If we're not having fun, reevaluate, step back, like make some changes, take a break, dig in more, whatever you got to do to make this fun.
I love it. And be honest with yourself.
Be honest with yourself.
Always.
Ask hard questions. Jason, thanks for joining us today, man. It's been a pleasure talking with you. For everyone, I know we ended on talking about his podcast. Go check that out. It's in the episode description. And it's been a pleasure having you. I learned a lot today, speaking about learning. I hope our listeners did too. So until next time, guys.
Take care.
See you guys.